You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save Your Marriage Podcast. We're here to help you save your marriage. I'm here to help you by talking through various issues, ways of approaching your situation, ways of dealing with the disconnect. Now, this is a part of a long process of gathering the information, of learning how to plug in the pieces, of learning how to not just reconnect your relationship, but steer it onto a different course. At the same time, you're growing and changing. In fact, those are the three steps that I talk about in saving a marriage. And so today I want to talk about one piece of that. And to get into that, I want to just kind of tell you a story. Now, this story happened probably 25 years ago. In fact, 25 years ago this summer it would have been that case. And the story is, I'm going to try to not be too graphic, but tell you what happened. My wife and I, when we went on our honeymoon, we were headed to grad school. Now, this was 26 years ago. And so we were headed to grad school, so we didn't have much money, so to speak, at that point. And so we were able to take our honeymoon for a couple of days in the mountains and then at the beach. And at the beach, we were able to use a property that my grandparents owned. And to be honest, a property meaning it was a mobile home that had an extra couple of rooms tacked onto it. So pretty meager place to do a honeymoon, but it fit us just fine because it gave us a chance to be away and just be with ourselves. And we were the youngest kids on the beach, and people made note of that. So the next summer, obviously a free place to stay was pretty enticing for us. And so we got to spend our vacation after our first year of grad school by going back to that place and gave us a way of re-celebrating our honeymoon. And so we were there on this second vacation as a married couple. And we decided that we were going to splurge. We decided we were going to go back to a restaurant that we had been to on our honeymoon. And so we drove to that restaurant. It was a bit of a drive away. And you know, there I was in my I loved my 4x4 stick shift. And so I was driving that down. And we got to that restaurant only to discover that that particular restaurant had closed. It was a nicer restaurant, a little dressed-up restaurant. But there was another restaurant just up from it that we had also gone to, and so we decided that we would go there instead. Now, here we are at the beach at an all-you-can-eat crab place. You know those all-you-can-eat crab places where here we were on the coast of North Carolina, but the crab we were eating was from Alaska, right? And we were there with everybody thinking that everybody was eating local crab when we were all eating imported seafood. And so we ate all we could. I ate a lot. If you can imagine, I'm 6'4", and I can put away a lot of crab legs. So I ate a lot of crab legs, and so did my wife. And so then we decided that we would kind of venture around a little bit, and we would move down the beach to a place that had a lot of shops. In fact, it's a shop that I once worked in while I spent some time in the summer there. And so we were visiting this place that had a bunch of shops. One was this magic shop, and just kind of touring around. And my wife said, you know, my stomach's kind of bothering me. And I said, oh, gosh, that's too bad. You must have gotten too much butter. And she said, yeah, I think I might have had something that just didn't agree with my stomach. And as the night wore on, she began to feel worse and worse. Well, in the middle of the night, I, too, got sick. But in the difference between her and me is that when she was having kind of a low-grade discomfort and some other effects, I was having a violent reaction. And this tends to be the way my body deals with illness. I don't have whenever I get sick, the few times I get sick, I don't have a small reaction. I have a huge reaction, and oftentimes it ends up being even health-threatening. And so that's what happened this time. So after about 12 hours of me being sick, I was dehydrated and beginning to be a bit delirious. And so my wife packed me into our 4x4, and bless her heart, she was sick too, but not in as bad a shape as me. And she tried to drive a stick shift, not what she was capable of driving. That's not what she likes to drive. It was what I like to drive. And so we made our way about a half an hour away to the nearest emergency room. me kind of semi-conscious. And what she recalls is that every time she had to change gears and jolt, it brought me back to life and was kind of moaning and groaning as we did that. So we get to the hospital. They realize that I'm in deep need of stopping the symptoms. And so they gave me some medication that would stop the symptoms. And I remember my wife saying, "Oh, that's great. Now you don't have the symptoms. You can drive us home." And the doctor said, "Oh, he's going to be unconscious for probably the next 12 hours. And so they sent us home, and she had to drive all the way back. But what I remember is the few times that I rallied, I said one thing to her. I said, "I will never eat again." And I meant it. I was planning never, ever to have to put any food in my mouth ever again. It was miserable. And I knew what it caused it. We knew at that point that we'd gotten food poisoning from this all-you-can-eat restaurant. And so we both were sick. I was violently ill and swearing I would never touch food again. Now, there is another piece to how my body responds to these illnesses. First, my wife continued to be sick for about the next week and a half. I, on the other hand, by the next day, was well on the way to recovery. And that was our day to leave. So from having been knocked out by drugs and being dehydrated and fairly sick to driving our car back home while my wife was sick beside me. And so there we were driving out, and I had obviously lost a lot of calories. And so we decided we needed to stop somewhere. And we decided that we would stop at a Chinese restaurant and that maybe I would eat a little soup, as was my wife's thinking. You know, I could eat a little egg drop soup, start slowly and build up. And so we went in, and she ordered soup, and I ordered soup, and then I ordered the rest of the meal and ended up eating a good amount of food. In other words, one day after swearing I would never eat food again, I was eating at a Chinese buffet. That may raise a question for you. What does this have to do with marriage? What does this have to do with saving your marriage? And what it has to do with is the fact that there comes a time in lots of struggles in marriage where a spouse will say, "I don't love you. I will never love you again," or some similar conversation. Sometimes they say, "I've never loved you." They can say, "You know, there's no way this marriage can recover. There's no way this will work out. We are finished. It is over." Many variations on that, but there's an absolute in the "I am not going to connect with you in some way." And that feeling can be overwhelming to a spouse who's hearing that. That feeling can be painful for the person who's hearing that. And so I just wanted to kind of point to the fact that on one day I was swearing I would never eat again, and the next day I was eating a Chinese buffet, to let you know that how we do these things is not necessarily representative of reality. How we state absolutes is not necessarily a statement of reality, but a feeling in time. My father was a pastor, and I remember I was sitting in a session he was doing for the church on family dynamics and parenting, and a parent raised her hands and said, "Can you tell me what it means when my teenager says, 'I hate you'? And my father paused and he said, "Certainly, I can absolutely tell you what that means. What that means is that your daughter, well, she hates you." And he gave a pregnant pause and said, "At least at that moment." And it strikes at the reality of the fact that we as humans don't do a good job of having anything in the gray area. We are absolutes. "I totally love something," "I totally hate something" is generally how we phrase things. And so often I hear people say things in absolutes. For instance, I've had people in my office say, "I am out of this relationship." But when I talk to them individually, what I realize is they're not entirely out of the relationship. They might be a lot out of the relationship, but not 100%. In fact, I rarely see people go through who are either 100% in or 100% out. You're here likely because you're trying to save your relationship. But are you 100% into saving your relationship? I'm not saying 100% committed, but 100% into the feeling of wanting to save your marriage. You can be 100% committed without the feeling there. which is an interesting dynamic to think about. You can be 100% committed to saving your relationship, but not 100% feeling it. Just like when a spouse says, "I will never love you again," they can have that feeling 100%. That doesn't mean 100% of what's going to happen. There are other options. There are other possibilities of what can happen. Remember this. Bad feelings can change. "I will never love you again. I don't love you now. This marriage will never work. There's no way this will work out." All of those are a statement of current emotions. Not of reality as it moves forward, but of how things are feeling right then. Things can still change. There are possibilities beyond that, and I say that as somebody who's witnessed it time and again. Over and over, I've watched couples say, "You know, we don't love each other," only to realize that they're still feeling there. It's just the emotions weren't there at that point. "We can't work this out," only to watch them work it out. "There's no way this marriage can work," only to see the marriage work. Letting me know that the emotional state that we talk about is different than the reality that we live into. The problem is, when we confuse that, when people say, "Oh, that's just the way it is," they begin to lock in and not see any other possibility. So let's talk some about what you do. If you've heard that, if you've heard a spouse say, "I'll never love you again," or "I don't love you now," or "I've never loved you before," or "This cannot work out, this marriage is over, we have to move on, the relationship has ended," all of those pieces, I want you to think through 7 different parts of a strategy on how to deal with that. Okay, there's 7 different pieces to this, and they all fit together. So let's talk about these 7 different pieces. First, the way to respond is, number 1, be calm and receptive. When you hear that comment, be calm and receptive. Don't be defensive. Don't be pushing the other person off or trying to negate them. Be calm. And that's the big one here. If you can recognize that this is just their emotional state, it's easier to be calm. Now, it's not simple to do that, but it becomes easier when you have that frame, rather than feeling like there's no way out, rather than seeing that this is a dead end. You need to remain calm, even if it's only outwardly. Even if it's only in your appearance, you want to remain calm and maintain a receptive position to listening to this other person, because there's something in what's being said. There's something important being acknowledged, not the reality of what are going to happen down the road, but the emotional state of that person. So number 1 is to be calm and receptive. Number 2 is accept it as a statement of where the person is, not a permanent place. You don't have to point that out to them, but to remind yourself, that is a statement of where the person is. But where somebody is emotionally is not a permanent state. I can prove it. Remember, at another point in time, where probably both of you said, "We are going to love each other forever." Remember that was a feeling that was probably there, and probably even a promise that was made at your wedding. And you never thought that feeling would change. And yet it probably has, if you're at the point of listening to this. Feelings have changed. They do change. So accept it as a statement of where the person is right then, not as a statement of a permanent place that you are stuck and from which you cannot move forward. Okay, so you're calmly accepting and receptive of what's being said. You don't have to agree with it. That's not the receptive part, but just be willing to listen. The second part is to accept it as a statement of where the person is in your mind. Where the person is not a permanent place. You only have to accept that internally. You don't have to say anything back to them like, "Okay, I can see where you're saying that, and I accept that that is just where you are right now, but that's not going to be where you are." Don't say that. This is an internal state of being able to say, "Okay, that's a statement of where the person is. It's a statement of where my spouse is. It's a statement of where our relationship is, but it's not a statement of where it has to be. It's a moment in time, a dot on the line, a point that tells you where things are right then," which leads to number 3. Do not argue. Do not reason. Do not plead, convince, beg, or anything else. Don't try to get them off that. And that's going to be your tendency. You know, the arguing can be trying to talk some sense into them, right? You try to reason with them and plead with them and get them to say something different. So you try to let them know, prove to them that they really do love you, prove to them that the relationship is worth staying in, prove to them that somehow if they just see the light, they'll move to your side. Do not argue, reason, plead, convince, beg, or any other type of attempt to change their mind for a couple of reasons. One is, you'll end up in a defensive posture. And two is, you will cause the other person to remind themselves and you of why this is true. Psychological reactance means that when somebody even agrees with you, if you tell them what they're feeling, they will disagree. And that's under the best of circumstances. We all will push ourselves to prove our point as being different from what we are being told to believe. And if you're trying to convince somebody, argue with them, plead with them, anything of that, beg them to see differently, that is going to feel like they're being forced to feel differently. And so they're going to react. The psychological reactance is to step against that and try to create bigger barriers, try to create bigger proof that they really don't love, can't stay, not possible to work it out, all of those pieces. So don't argue, reason, plead, convince, beg, etc. It will not work. All it will do is dig the hole deeper. The fourth thing is to recognize that there is great vulnerability in having even made that statement. For a spouse to say this, often it comes with a great deal of pain. Often it comes with a great deal of difficulty. And while you're feeling it from your side, the pain that it feels coming your way, recognize that it might have felt very painful for the other person to say it. Now, you could use that and say, then they didn't need to say it. I want you to come the other way and say, maybe there's some vulnerability that came out of that. That even if I don't like hearing the emotional state of where they are, there's a vulnerability to anybody saying, this is my emotional state. Now, the problem is that these things are said in ways that it's not like somebody saying, you know what I'm feeling right now is I'm feeling that I don't love you. That's not how they say it. It's said in absolutes. I do not love you. And so it doesn't feel like a vulnerability. And yet it is. I've talked with people who said, you know, I spent 5 years trying to get ready to say that to my spouse. And my spouse just defended and tried to make me say it differently and take it back and tried to force me to unsay it. Instead of being able to accept it and accept that that's where they are and accept it not as a permanent place, but at least a recognition of where they are right then. The vulnerability of even revealing that is huge. If you can see that there's vulnerability in that statement, and if you can also see that there may be great pain in the other person saying it, they might have bolstered themselves up and they might come across as angry. But remember, behind all anger is hurt. Even behind yours in response to this is hurt. So we want to stay with that piece that vulnerability happens in the conflict. Conflict is a way of being vulnerable with each other that we often miss because we react with anger and we react with a pushback because we don't want to hear that vulnerability. So recognize that there's great vulnerability in the fact that a spouse might say that. It might not be anything you want to hear and it might not be anything you want to agree with, and that's okay. But just recognize that there can be vulnerability in the person saying that. The fifth thing is to use this as a starting point. So now you know the base level that you're working from. This kind of sets the point, the starting point for the recovery process. I don't love you. Okay, now we have the bottom level. That's one step below the I am not in love with you, but I still love you place, right? I don't love you is one place below that. So now we have this as a starting point. So recognize that you now know the starting point that you're working from, full disconnection. Not at this point permanent disconnection, but disconnection from emotional state with you. Which leads us to the important point of number 6. Then you begin working on reconnecting. You begin working on rebuilding the process because that is so crucial to this aspect. If you're wondering how to do that reconnection in the face of the difficulties, you want to grab the Save the Marriage system, which you can find at SaveTheMarriage.com. So that Save the Marriage system is kind of a piece-by-piece, step-by-step way of reestablishing that connection. If you're not quite ready for that, you might want to grab How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps. That's the book I have that you can find at Amazon.com, How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps, that divides those simple steps into these 3 points. 1, connect with your spouse. 2, change yourself. 3, create a new path. So when you start working on that reconnecting, this will give you a plan, a way of moving forward with that, either with the Save the Marriage system, or with How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps, a great way of really saying, okay, I've got to begin working on that reconnection. This point, number 6, work on reconnecting, is the opposite of what most people do, which is they say, well, it's time to give up. I might as well walk away. And I would suggest that you can do that, but that may not be what you want. And it may not be what you have to accept as the long-term plan as much as saying this is not a permanent place, this is a temporary place. Feeling can change. A feeling can go from I want nothing to do with you to wow, there's something still here. For me, I am never going to eat again was a true emotional statement. I mean, I really felt that. You know, whether I sat back and thought that's not possible or not, it didn't matter. That was my emotional state at the point. I am never going to eat again, only to be belly up to the buffet the next day. You know, those things can change. And so when we say, okay, then I'm going to continue my path of reconnection, we don't get defeated by the feeling that is there that may not have to be permanent unless we make it so. So we work on reconnecting. Number 7 is to note your own pain, but refuse to allow the pain to lead to a fight or flight response. Notice that it really is painful to hear that it really can be a kick in the gut, and that it's about your own pain, not to respond with anger or respond with fleeing, right? There's some people who say, okay, then I'm done, I'm walking away. If you're going to feel that way, then I'm not going to have anything to do with this, and out the door they go. Or some people begin to get into that place of being argumentative and combative and fighting the process, and that's the fight or flight response. Rather than staying with the painful place of grief, of saying, wow, that's really painful to hear, that really is hurtful, but there are still other options here. There's still other possibilities that can happen here if I don't get sucked into my own anger and my own resentment, but I stay with the fact that that's hurtful, but not necessarily permanent. Okay, so just to kind of go through those one more time, how to respond. Number 1, be calm and receptive. That doesn't mean you have to agree with their saying, but you have to hear them. Number 2 is accept it as a statement of where the person is, not a permanent place. That's an internal place that you go to of saying, okay, that's where they are right now. You're not trying to, number 3, argue, reason, plead, convince, beg, or anything else to change their mind. That's not going to be helpful. All it's going to do is create more resistance. I promise you that. Number 4 is to recognize the vulnerability in that statement, that there is vulnerability from your spouse and even being willing to share that. That there's probably a deep level of pain that comes from that point. And just recognize that it's probably not said as a, I'm going to hurt your feelings, as much as a, I've got to reveal this. I've got to say this even though it's hurtful. Number 5 then is to use that as a beginning point to say, okay, now I know what I'm up against. I know what I'm working from. I know what I'm dealing with. Number 6 is to then say, then I need to reconnect. That's the step part of this. I need to reconnect. And if you need help with that, SaveTheMarriage.com or How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps from Amazon. And that will get you going on a plan on how to do that reconnection. Then number 7 is to note your own pain. Note your own pain, but refuse to allow it to lead to a fight or flight response, which is anger or fleeing. Don't allow that to happen. And as you do that, then you have a chance of rebuilding that connection and have a chance of realizing that it was a point in time where your relationship faced a new struggle, had a chance to grow, and has the capacity of getting to a new point, possibly because of the honesty of revealing how somebody is feeling. Use this as a growth point, as a possibility, not an ending point, but a growth point in the process of growing your relationship into something else. Hopefully that's been good for you, been helpful in getting you to recognize what's behind that, how not to get sucked into the statement of I'll never love you again, and how to recognize that this is a possibility of new growth. If it's been helpful for you, let me know in the comment area below. Let me know how that, if you're on the blog, you can leave that in the comment area below of how that process for you and how that might have happened to you in the past. You can just say you very quickly, hey, I'm there. I've been there. I've had that said to me. And then you begin a process of saying, and I'm going to reclaim our relationship. If this has been helpful for you and you think others might benefit, you can also show us a little Twitter love just by going to savethemarriage.com/love. That'll send a tweet out to people saying, hey, I found something useful here. You can edit the tweet or just send it as you will. And that's a great way of letting others know that there's help that can happen in their relationship. Either way, know that we're here trying to help you. You can let us know what would be useful. I'm about to come out with a great virtual coaching program, and you want to stay tuned for that. But let us know if there's some other topics you'd like to hear about just by sending an email to me at podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast@savethemarriage.com. And you can let me know what other topics might be useful for you. I will let you know that that's part of what led to this one. It wasn't from somebody listening, but one of my coaches. We were having a conversation and I was explaining how to deal with somebody that's dealing with that. And my coach said, man, that's got to be a podcast because I keep hearing people talk about it. So that's how this podcast came to be. It was an outside person saying, hey, this is important. You can help by sending a suggestion to podcast@savethemarriage.com. Know that we are here trying to help you save your marriage. We're in your corner. We're behind you. Let us know how we can help. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.